Hello, and welcome to Behind the Business, a podcast where we talk with Hot Springs business owners and managers about their business. Each Monday, we go inside the business to get a unique perspective on the challenges and opportunities businesses face today. My name is James Lee, and we're broadcasting from the Razorback Camper Sales Studio. Thanks for joining us today. I'd like to welcome Angelina Boyles to the podcast. She is the owner of Garden of Love. To start off with, you know, tell me a little bit about who you are and what you do. Because Garden of Love is, there's a lot going on here.
Yes. There's many different avenues, but I started with just the inspiration to be a farmer. I wanted to learn how to grow plants in order to provide food for myself and for others. And I worked at a Shelton Herb Farm in North Carolina, and that put me around thousands of different plants that I was able to know how to plant, divide, sell. And then I started learning more about the medicinal side of the plants themselves. So I was inspired to not only farm all the medicine and the medicinals, but also to be able to put it in work with others to help heal them on their journey, because I was doing a lot of healing work myself. And so Garden of Love is inspired with, you know, the journey of healing myself while healing others. So from being a farmer, I learned quickly how I needed to transition it into a business if I wanted it to work out. So I moved back to Arkansas, and I started learning under a herbalist, Wendy Fargo, and that inspired me to move into another direction with what I was gardening as well. So on top of doing a vegetable garden and providing food for myself and my family, I was also growing medicinals and learning how to do that process before I jumped into anything else. So learning about the plants took me on a lot of different journeys. A lot of people would start coming to me and asking me questions about how to heal themselves with plants. So I started to dive more into how I could grow what needed to be used as well. I had learned also about mushrooms. Mm-hmm. There was a mycologist at Shelton Herb Farm that he had some mushroom logs set up, and it just made me excited seeing mushrooms come out of logs growing that you knew what they were. Mm-hmm. So I knew how I felt when I saw that happening, and I wanted to be able to share that with others as well. From, you know, learning the herbalist side and the farmer side, then I jumped into learning more about mushrooms. So me and my collaborator, we started to build a business with what we had mm-hmm. possible at that time. I started to do the markets after that and, you know, sell to restaurants as well. So, yeah.
So you say that you got into herbals. What kinds of things are you talking about? Because, you know, there are some people who think, you know, of one thing, others think of something else. But kind of what generally do you deal with as far as the herbalism stuff?
Okay, good question. So one of my first plants that taught me a great deal about myself was turmeric. Mm. I was a marathon runner, and I had ran a half marathon and came back and from a 11-day vacation and didn't stretch and whatnot accordingly before it. And it was a very cold December day. And I decided to just go for it. Well, at the end, I could not walk. I made it home, but I could not get up for 3 days after that. Right. And I was a restaurant worker. I waited tables. So I had to figure it out real quick. I had a friend turn me on to Gaia Herbs that's out of North Carolina and tell me about turmeric and this turmeric supplement that I could take. I started taking this supplement and I started to move again, started to be able to have the inflammation go down and learn that that was what I needed to target in order to heal. And so, you know, herbals can be all of your culinary herbs, rosemary, thyme, sage, parsley. All of it adds trace minerals to our bodies as well as work within our system on different levels as well. That's some of the herbals, but you know, you can dive more into the more exotic kind as well. But even the basic ones are the ones that have been around for a long time and we can use to help heal ourselves.
Yeah. So as far as mushrooms, you know, what kinds of, you know, things do you deal with there? Because, you know, you have lots of different, you know, standard type mushrooms. You have, you know, the ones that people tend to either gravitate toward or away from as far as like psychedelics and the like.
Yeah.
What kinds of things do you deal with? I mean, obviously you don't sell those kinds of things to like restaurants, but
yeah. So I deal with the more what they would call functional mm-hmm. mushrooms and gourmet culinary mushrooms. Lion's mane, mm-hmm. oyster, you got king trumpet, chestnut, you got enoki. So all the fun ones that you see in the Asian store, mm-hmm. Asian markets that are dried that people go there, you know, shiitakes, mm-hmm. Big one. They go there to buy that are dried, that are shipped in or, you know, from a different area of not, you know, origin of, well, locally.
Right.
So that's another reason I decided to do that part of it as well as I saw the benefit of lion's mane mm-hmm. in particular for many different people with nerve damage and brain damage. And that's what really just opened my eyes up to what the functional mushrooms could do for others and for myself. So yeah, that's a few of them. Yeah. But they're also very mighty tasty. And,
right.
you know, a lot of people are kind of scared of jumping into it, which I was at first too. But then I just allowed myself to be free of all my fears when getting into eating different types of mushrooms.
Right. So, you know, obviously mushrooms, growing mushrooms is completely different than, you know, growing tomatoes or, you know, cucumbers or your normal type vegetables. You know, how, you know, what kinds of things do you do to grow those? Because, you know, typically, you think of a mushroom, you think dark, damp, you know, usually in the forest type thing. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about your process.
Okay. So starting out, so we have a lab and we have a fruiting chamber. And then, of course, the fridges for, you know, storing.
Sure.
But we grow out of bags, and so they're called like unicorn bags. There's different varieties of them, but a lot of people know those. So we take the mycelium. So we take spores mm-hmm. from a mushroom itself or get spores from, you know, a company or whatnot, put it on agar plates, and then we're able to use the agar to inoculate these bags. Mm-hmm. So It's a process with the bags, of course. It's wood and grain that you use for the food. But after they are myceliated bags, you're able to put them into the chamber and slice a hole in them. And then they'll grow out of that hole dependent on the environmental factors with how they'll grow as well. So all the CO2, oxygen, light, and humidity. Mm-hmm. That's your most important four things. So I have a humidity tank that I run at 90%, you know, depending on if it's just what you call pens as mm-hmm. like the beginning stages, or if they're in, you know, later stages as well. I use a blue light of sorts, you know, just dependent. Right now I'm actually growing out of a greenhouse because I wanted to try something different. So mm-hmm. that's been kind of a challenge, but, you know, I love challenges and I love growing in different conditions so I can teach other people how to grow in any of the conditions. So from the bags, you know, you cut holes in them, you're able to fruit out of them. And then after you're done fruiting the bags, you're able to use that for compost for your garden. And actually, they'll keep on producing and you'll have oyster mushrooms growing out of your garden beds, which mushrooms add trace minerals to the soil. You know, everything they do for us, they do for the earth as well. So it's something that I use that compost in all of my garden beds, and you know, we use everything organically and self-sustainably.
Yeah. So in addition to the mushrooms, you do tinctures and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about that and kind of how you got into that, because that's something a little different that not a lot of people know much about.
So the herbalist I studied under, Wendy Fargo, she taught us a lot of preparations on how we could be able to extract the compounds out of different plants, mushrooms, etc. So it's a different, so tinctures itself are extracted from alcohol and water, just dependent. Mushrooms, you can do a double or a triple extract with them because different compounds are extracted out of the material dependent on the solvent that you use. Mm-hmm. So I needed a way to get to different people in different ways of producing it. So some people like teas. Some people want to just take a dropper full of tincture. Mm-hmm. Some people want capsules. You know, it just dependent on what their body wants and what they think helps them the most as sure. well. So tinctures is just another way. It's mostly the most potent way to extract compounds out of a plant or a mushroom. Mm-hmm. But some people do not like using alcohol, so mm-hmm. there is different ways of doing it with apple cider vinegar or vegetable glycerin, a couple other different solvents. But I do use a local vodka mm-hmm. and spring water in all of my medicine, so I make it very local. Right. So, yeah.
And you said earlier that you also do teaching. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about what you do as far as teaching. And I know you've got an event that you're going to be teaching at next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my first workshop was on plugging mushroom logs, because that was one of the first things when I got to my first farm was I started to plug logs because I knew that they were going to take the longest amount of time in order to produce. So I run at least 2 mushroom log workshops a year, the first of spring and, you know, fall, late fall, somewhere around there. And then I have also taught on, you know, herbalism itself and kind of the history of using different herbs for different ailments and other reasons, you know, like using mugwort for lucid dreaming, whatnot. But I will be teaching more on foraging, classes as well. So my upcoming event will be on plugging mushroom logs and foraging itself, because that was something that I had to teach myself, really. A lot of that is self-taught. I got out in the woods with the Peterson's Field Guide, and I started to learn the plants myself and learn where they grew, how they grew, when they grew. And so it's kind of just cannonballed from there as well.
Yeah. And I'm kind of glad you mentioned the foraging, because that's starting to see a comeback. I mean, 150, 200 years ago, it wasn't uncommon for somebody to go out and forage for food. But with the popularity in buying stuff in the store ready, you know, easier to access, you know, that's kind of gone away. But I know during the pandemic, a lot of people did start going and trying to forage, trying to get back to their family roots in a lot of sense.
Yes.
So, you know, if somebody is wanting to kind of get into foraging, what is the first thing you recommend that they do?
I recommend that they have a mentor or a guide while doing it. I'm part of the Arkansas Mycological Society, so I have a variety of mentors that I go to make sure that what I am identifying is correct. Mm-hmm. And so I know it will take me years to get to their level, but just the knowing of the more basic, it makes me able to teach others in that way. And with the herbs, I have a lot of mentors to say, hey, is this the right one that I'm picking? Like, when should I harvest it? So besides reading the books, I'm always going to a mentor of some sorts, because I want to make sure what I am giving anyone and myself before I do that is not going to hurt me in any way.
Right.
So,
because it is kind of easy to mistake some different mushrooms for others, because, you know, it might be a little bit of a color difference, or, you know, just something small that unless you're looking for it, you may not notice.
Yes.
Which is why it can be, you need to find somebody to kind of back you up and make sure that what you're doing is safe.
Yes. Yep. Because we can, even with our minds, if we don't think it is, we can make ourselves sick in that way. So yeah. And it was, when I foraged my first mushroom chanterelles, It was, I remember the feeling of cooking them. And I was like, okay, God, like, I know you got me, you know, I'm just going to do this thing because I know it's my past. So yeah. I know that feeling, and that's what I have to introduce and get on other people's level with. Even with the lion's mane and oyster and the most basic gourmet mushrooms, people are still coming from a fear base. And so I have to allow myself to teach in order to sell my product. Mm-hmm. Because if I don't teach, then I don't sell my product. And that is a wide array of teaching. It's not just by the books. It's teaching them to cook with them, teaching them how to use them in other ways as well. So that's a little bit, I go over a little bit of that in like my mushroom log workshop. I'll have a lot of people ask me questions on that, but I will be doing more workshops to teach people about how to cook with mushrooms in the upcoming year.
Sounds great. Well, I appreciate you coming by and talking to me. I really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you so much. I really enjoyed being here. And yeah, thank you for allowing me the space to do this.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of Behind the Business. New episodes are released each Monday from the Razorback Camper Sales Studio. Thanks for listening.